Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. With me here on this Easter Sunday is my father. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to all. Happy Easter. And happy March Madness to all those who have been following. Myself and Alex put a pool together. He made a bracket. He never made a bracket before. And,
right.
This was the most amount of brackets I'd ever made. I think I made at least 10 different ones, maybe even more than that. So I wanted to see just how successful I could be, and the answer is not very much. If you are interested...
The 0.3 people that are left?
Well... So, first of all, the very first, we didn't even talk about this, the very first day of the games, on that, which is the best, that first weekend, Thursday, Friday. Right. I'm so glad they moved it to the end of the week as opposed to early in the week. It just helps out so much more. So, you watch, you know, Thursday and Friday, those games, you can keep track of them. You can maybe watch them, catch in the afternoon, all that stuff. I love it. But after, I think, Friday, so 2 days in, all brackets had been busted in terms of the perfect bracket. I was very proud to say in my bracket against Alex, I got the Western region perfect.
Wow.
I got that even including now after leading up to the Final Four, got that one perfect. The other one's not so much.
Right.
But a lot of big upsets. We had a 13 beat a 4. We had a 15. No, I'm sorry. What was that?
What was the biggest upset? Michigan State?
Michigan State losing the first round against Middle Tennessee.
Shocking.
That was a 15 beating a 2. Absolutely shocking. We had a 14 beat a 3, which was Stephen F. Austin over West Virginia.
They almost beat Notre Dame.
Almost did. Hawaii over California. Arkansas, Little Rock over Purdue. I mean, Purdue, that's a name.
The name in chickens, too.
True. Yale over Baylor, which is big. Very big. I mean, just in that those first couple days.
Exciting.
I mean, you get one to two upsets that you can almost kind of call out. And at this point, a 10 over a 7, that's not an upset anymore. Because it's too close to call.
True.
But anything where you get real double digits, 11, 12, there still hasn't been a 16 overcoming a 1. But yeah, so you had not a lot of Cinderellas after the first round going into the Sweet 16.
Right.
After the first round, you know, Hawaii lost leading up to the Sweet 16 and Little Rock, Arkansas, and all those teams lost. But you'd have to say right now, after everything's said and done, leading up to Final Four, Syracuse as
it's
a 10.
Following form now, except for Syracuse.
Syracuse over Virginia happened just today, as slightly after this recording. Syracuse beats Virginia, a 10 seed in the Final Four. Now, this isn't some, who are these 10 seeds? I mean, look, Syracuse is Syracuse. They have been a national champion in the past with Carmelo Anthony. It's still run by Jim Boeheim. The only difference is they've been on self-imposed postseason ban last couple years.
And that was due to recruitment.
Was it recruitment? Because I thought it was also or did that go away? There was a scandal that happened in the wake of Penn State, and Boeheim was accused, and so was a assistant coach. But apparently I think that swayed.
They took a timeout and they're back.
They did, and they're back big time. And then as of recording, the game's about to start, but North Carolina against Notre Dame.
Who do you like in there?
Carolina. I would love to see Notre Dame, but Carolina's Carolina. I mean, everything's kind of holding form. Your Final Four, you have Villanova. Who's it to?
Well, everything's in the East, right?
Except for Oklahoma.
I'm loving that.
Oklahoma's a two. They've got, what the heck is his name? They've got that great kid. Held, I think his name, H-E-I-L-D.
Prospect.
Oh, big time. Big time pro prospect. So he's going to be pretty good. So that's going on. Of course, it's that time of year, which is really exciting. Is the March Madness. And that's fun. And I am beating Alex. Alex, if you're listening, I'm not rubbing it in. I'm just saying I'm beating. That's all. I've got 30. My possible points are, well, right now I'm 67 and he's 43 in terms of points. So, and he did pretty well. There was a little while he was on top of over me. It's really hard. They said there's a quadrillion different combinations.
Exactly.
So even if
that's
you,
why Warren Buffett can offer a million or two,
yeah,
or five or
and of these sites, Yahoo does 50,000.
Yeah.
CBS Sports does a lot of money too, just to offer for the perfect one. Perfect one's hard to get because
no.
Even when it, you know, even because
too many combinations.
A quadrillion. So there's so many of that. So. That's happening right now, and the baseball season is going to start up real soon, in the week coming, early beginning of April, opening, of course, with the Mets and the Royals, a rematch from the World Series to start off the season. So, and no injuries to really speak of this spring. You know, Jacoby Ellsbury got hit in the wrist, but he always gets hit in the wrist. It's just, is he going to be healthy or not for the season? But Yoenis Cespedes, there was, I guess he's really taken the spring training as practice. What it was? I don't know if you saw.
Well, he doesn't focus very well.
No, he doesn't focus.
Certainly not over a long
period of time. Now, I'm excited as a Met fan. I'm excited to see the way he's been building up this spring in terms of maybe not a leader on the team, but just he's having fun. It's very loose. They are not too uptight of, hey, we lost. We need to get serious.
Right.
Like, I do appreciate the let's have fun, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's why you want him on a one-year contract.
Pretty much. And so there's a game against Houston in spring training. Ball went over his head, bounced up underneath where the, you know, there's the ground, and then there's space between the padding vertically for the outfield fence. Bounces, goes up for just a millisecond. And then comes back down.
So
right
it's in the field of play.
It's in the field of play. He puts his hands up. Oh, ground rule double. It's stuck. You know, sometimes you at like Wrigley Field, the ball gets stuck in
so
the
he's
IV.
Gonna he's going to umpire the game, too.
So, and he's standing. Yeah, he's going to ref the game. So he's standing in front of the ball. He knows it's on the ground, and he puts his hands up. Up, ground rule double.
Yeah, yeah,
the guy stops at second. And then the umpire goes out looking at the ball. He clearly sees it. He's motioning to it. And the guy at second goes, well, I'm just going to keep going.
He should.
And he goes all around, so it's an it goes as an inside-the-park home run. And he's standing there, and the umpire is getting down on the ground, touching the ball. I can touch it. And he puts his hands up. That's a fair ball. Go ahead, play it.
So did he throw it back underhand?
Yes, he did.
That's the way he rolls.
He does, and he just let that happen. So I don't assume it's going to happen during the regular season, but when you look around, and you look at the body of work with the Mets in the World Series when he's kicking balls like it's soccer, it's very troubling. But again, it's preseason. I mean, the Mets have a sub 500 record in the spring training.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Nationals have the best.
Yeah,
by far.
That doesn't usually play out.
No, of course it doesn't. No, absolutely not.
But Cespedes reminds me of what Yogi Berra once said. Something like 90% of the game is 50% mental.
Yeah, it's true. So that's going on over there. And then there was actually an article that came out, or they were talking about the Yankees head, Levine. I always forget his name. It's not Adam Levine. That's a singer. But he says that the Mets should be pulling their fair share when it comes to, Randy Levine is his name, says the Mets should pay more in revenue sharing.
To who?
To the, you know how there's
the
revenue
league?
Sharing? You know, when you first of all, there's the salary cap tax, the luxury tax.
Yeah.
If you go to, you have to pay money into the revenue sharing. And then there's partial revenue sharing in terms of how much you make. It's not like the NFL. But he goes on to say, quote, what is very burdensome to us and is unfair is the amount of money we have to pay in revenue sharing compared to, for example, to teams in our market that pay 10 times less than us.
Right.
By the way, there's only one team in their market, so that's obvious. And he thinks that the Mets should pay more. Now, to be fair, revenue sharing, the amount you pay is based on a lot of factors. How much you spend and how much you make. The Mets' revenue last year was $313 million. The Yankees were number one. They had $516 million revenue. So that's incoming money.
Right.
So obviously the Yankees have to pay more because they get more.
26 championships,
don't
they?
So. No, 27.
Okay, 27.
And they have the. By the way, they were the first ones to have their own network, and they're the Yankees. I mean, for as much as I can't stand them,
they would get bad for a long period of time. They wouldn't have to pay as much either.
No, and I mean, they're cutting the. It's probably going to be different this year because they didn't spend as much. They spent a good amount, but they didn't spend as much as in past years.
Well, George isn't around.
Well, George isn't around, and you know, aside from
the
Hank,
kids are making it a business,
right? Well, Hank is. How is that? Which one? I always forget which one's the loudmouth who tries to keep up his dad's, you know, dad's legacy of we're gonna do. I think, and then the other one's down. The other one's down in Tampa with the rest of the brain trust.
The bean counter.
Yeah, hey, look, we need to do this right.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be different. Maybe the revenue will be a little bit less, but it's hard because the Yankees are a brand. They're a brand name.
Of course.
I mean, their hat sells wonderfully. And everything in New York is based on that symbol, the New York symbol, that interlocking NY. The Mets, I'm a Met fan, but it's only been 1 year that they've been successful, in the last 10. Well, so it's really hard to say.
There's a new sheriff in town.
That's right. So that's baseball. So that's coming up real soon. That'll be exciting. We'll get more into that as it gets closer. But also going on is the NFL. And we had some rule changes.
Yeah.
They're moving first of all, the move back of the extra point to the 15-yard line for a 33-yard attempt, that's official. They like that. I don't think the Patriots like that. Oh. But then also they're going to try on a year basis is moving up the touchback to the 25 on kickoffs. Now, they moved the original kick in the kickoff up to, what is it, 35 now?
Yeah.
It used to be at the 20, then the 25, then the 30, now the 35. And now they're noticing, what? They just kicked the ball out. So now what they want to do, now, by the way, they did that to stop
the run back.
Stop the run back because
injuries
caused on the run back, and then, of course, you know, with the head trauma that's associated with that. So they say, well, now it's just not fair for them to just kick off into the end zone. Let's make it so they have to get some kickoffs. Why then you shouldn't move the touchback to the 20 or 25. Move the kickoff back.
No, but they really don't want the kick. They're figuring at this point people will continue to kick it in the end zone.
But starting at the 25, it just doesn't make sense.
Is that what they do in college?
I don't know.
Overtime they do, right?
Well, the overtime rules, and we were having the discussion that this might be a prelim, like the first steps towards moving the overtime games. Because in college, each team starts at the 25, and you have to either score a touchdown or kick a field goal.
But the bigger point is that the college is the minor leagues for the pros.
It is
football, so they want similar rules. I mean, they did it with the width of the goalpost.
I mean, yeah.
It used to be 24 in college, 18 in the pros, and now it's all 18.
It's true, but
and
the,
I think that, and
but the hash marks, though, that's the problem.
Now, if they ever get around to find out what is a catch.
That was, of the seven rules they went over, that was not one of them. That was not one of them.
Most controversial thing.
Yes. But also what they did go over was two personal fouls and you're out.
Wow.
Which I think, I think it's fair.
Why?
Because.
Then I don't get to see all the drama. That was fun watching Norman.
Look, that was a fun game, but it was also stupid of Odell leading.
Well, we get to see it. Now with these rules, he'll be off in the locker room somewhere.
Well, how often do you see somebody get kicked out of an NFL game to begin with? It's rare.
Well, you do if you tackle too hard.
Right. But
seeing that would...
Well, it's a reactionary league.
Buford?
Who?
Buford? What was that the linebacker's name for Cincinnati?
Oh, I forget. He was crazy. He's absolutely crazy. And Adam Jones wasn't a saint either.
Well, he never is.
Yeah. So, and it also comes back to, and this is another news that came out, was that the NFL finally admitted that CTE and the link between that and the NFL and football, which, I mean, we all could have known. I mean, you don't necessarily need them to come out and say, yeah, we know that it causes head injuries. Well, we know this.
You know, to keep it kind of short, I mean, the biggest problem is the stronger you make the helmets, the more they're going to use their head.
True.
So if you go back,
right,
70 years,
oh yeah,
50 years,
right,
I mean, you're going to see different tackling techniques.
But nobody said about a former boxer, wow, he has his wits about him, even in his 80s.
He doesn't have a union.
No, right, I know, but what I'm saying is that we're not dumb. We can see that repeated shots to the head in whatever sport
it is. If you suffer a concussion in the state of New York, the Boxing Commission doesn't allow you to return for 30 days.
And that's smart.
And the NFL allows you somewhere between 30 minutes and 3 days.
And especially when they go, no, I got to go back in. And then they start hiding the helmets. So we'll see.
Now, the biggest rule change I see is no chop block. Now, it was only allowed by linemen at this point.
Right, when you could go, when you got double,
could do it.
Or a defensive lineman got double teamed by two offensive linemen. One goes low, one goes high. But now that is totally off the table.
Yeah, so that pretty much gets rid of the entire Denver Broncos running scheme.
Wow, but doesn't stop that defense if there's anybody left on that team.
It's going to change the running game dramatically, right. I think.
I think you're right about that. I think you are right about that. But we still had some more free agent movement. RG3, Robert Griffin III, finally goes to the Browns. It's official that that's where he's going to be.
And speaking of other has-beens.
Who's that?
I saw Trent Richardson sign some kind of commitment.
Trent Richardson signed with the Ravens. Apparently, he had an interview where he talked about, look, I know this is my last shot. He said, I thought I was doing really well in Cleveland. I had a great, and then they just all of a sudden traded me. And that really killed, even though he went to a better team, that like, for him, now I'm just speaking what he's saying, that it killed his spirit. I don't want to do this no more. Why'd I get traded?
Then what tells me is all this upfront money he got is probably gone.
It probably is. Well, and then he was also saying the hangers on. You know, he said he had to pay for 5 funerals. He was being constantly called for certain amounts by different family members. And then again, you get tired of, well, what if I, you know, I don't want to play this game anymore. You know, that's probably where his money
went. Yeah, but what else can I do for this kind of money?
Right, well, but guys
like that really, I don't think amount to much. Right. I think it's so over for him.
But on the flip side, I'll say this.
For all the wrong reasons.
Right, but I'll say this to you. If you're in a situation where, hey, people keep constantly asking for money. Right. You know what? Maybe if I don't have high paying, they're not going to ask me for anything.
Right.
Hey, I heard you're out of the league. Ooh, that sucks. I'm not going to ask you for any more money.
Well, he wasn't prepared to manage his finances.
Well, no, none of them are.
Well,
none of them are.
The Redskin quarterback.
Who?
He
Cousins?
Cousins.
Well,
he bought an old school Redskin from the 70s hoodie.
Yeah.
On
eBay?
Yeah, eBay. And he's telling everybody to save their money.
In fact,
I was reading an article that he was moving, and he had a bunch of his teammates move instead of hiring a moving truck.
That's smart. So, yeah, because then you're not going to get the...
There's a few out there. I'm sure Peyton Manning's not hurting for
money. No, but again, that's so few, especially when we're coming up on the draft.
True.
So many are going to be getting a lot of money, especially guaranteed money, too.
Yeah, it's like they hit the lottery.
Right. But speaking of... players on the move as well. Robert Griffin goes to the Browns, and Alfred Morris goes to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Speaking of running backs, by the way, last thing on Trent Richardson, you can tell how badly the Ravens are hurting for a running back if they reach out to Trent Richardson. I mean that's a dismantled team from the Super Bowl run. But
Trent Richardson seems the guy will take a lot of reps, get banged around, and then cut.
Right. So now he's with Alfred Morris is with the Cowboys, and he plays beyond a good line. But
we'll see how much gas is left in that tank.
Yeah.
Because he didn't look too good last year.
No. And everybody was all over him because that was the year when him and RG3, was it 2012 at this point?
Yeah.
Gosh, how long ago was that? And they went out on that. Well, and they had that great season.
4 years as a running back in this league, and he was carrying the ball a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. But even this season, he was dropped in favor of, I forget the other guy.
Yeah, then he got hurt.
Yeah. But so Morris will be with McFadden to try and see if they can replace DeMarco Murray, who's now in...
Yeah, the wheels might be coming off that Dallas
Tennessee
wagon.
Yeah, it's for sure. That's true.
They need a Romo replacement.
Yeah, and the Jets might not sign Fitzpatrick.
For $7 million, they offer.
Well, that's what they offer, but then you look at Osweiler, who plays a couple games, and
how old is Osweiler?
Well, he's much, much, much younger.
Okay.
But you see how important the quarterback is in this league.
Sure.
Now, when you have a quarterback, although it be one who went to Harvard and still leads with his head, I'll never understand that.
Right.
I'll never stop talking about that. So when you have a quarterback who had a successful year and who has been successful in the league, yes, he has been moved around a lot.
Yeah.
But you see how important it is. Romo goes down, nothing.
Right.
I mean, how many teams? Yeah. So he knows he's a commodity. Even if it's for 1 year, he's a commodity. Which then you have to start looking as a Jet fan. You got to start looking. Well, it's either Geno, or you hope that Paxton Lynch drops.
You hope Geno pays all those bills.
Well, that too. You hope that Paxton Lynch, the guy from Memphis, because Goff and Wentz are going to be the first two. Paxton Lynch, he's the so-so. He's like, he's on the cusp. You hope if you're a Jet fan that he drops to 14, 15, wherever
really?
The Jets are picking.
And you got a so-so third stringer.
Well, at least you have somebody else. That's all I'm saying. So. But speaking about New York State, you were talking about boxers, how they have to wait X amount of days. MMA, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, is now legal in New York State.
That'll be big.
It's going to be huge. Madison Square Garden. I mean, this is
the
place.
Fight mecca of the world.
Heavyweight championships, even WrestleManias and you know, all the rest.
It's the Big Apple.
It absolutely is. That's gonna be, so they're looking at the fourth quarter of 2016, like November, December.
Sure.
Probably they're talking already about Ronda Rousey versus, who is it, Tate? Like that match will probably be there. But that's what they're really kind of looking towards. So that'll be exciting. That's going
to
be huge.
The women that carry the sport.
Well, yeah, but not only that, I mean, it's huge. I mean, where it is everywhere else.
Sure.
In New Jersey...
At
the Prudential, it gets such big business, and it especially because it's right outside New York.
Sure.
Now you go into a hallowed place,
right?
And you have a big event.
Sure,
that's going to up it big time, and it really puts boxing, really pushes them off the map because Madison Square Garden was the last sort of holdout, New York State to be specific.
Boxing's in the twilight,
by far, absolutely by far. Especially Alex had talked about this when it's very difficult when you have trouble naming who's the heavyweight champion of the world. That just kind of tells you, because it used to be on the tip of everybody's tongue. Ali.
Right.
Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Foreman. Lennox Lewis. All this
stuff.
Well,
they killed it themselves between the corruption.
Oh, absolutely.
Between not fighting till they're senior citizens. it's happened a lot.
It's absolutely true. You're absolutely right. So, and right now, as we're watching the game, Notre Dame is putting up a big fight against the Tar Heels. It's tied 18-18, still early in the first half. So that's how that's going.
Comes down to the wire?
It probably will. It probably looks like it will. And, yeah. All right. Well, Dad, thanks very much for joining me.
Appreciate that.
A happy Easter to all. Happy Easter to you. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can like us and call us and all that stuff. But don't listen to me. Please listen to Andrew as he tells you. Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.